found to be a very receptive group. So please be seated if possible. I don't want you to have to stand for this sermon, although I intend that the sermon will not be too long, which I know will be appreciated. The text today is from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, just one verse, the words of Jesus. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. I remember there was a very famous American sociologist who was teaching at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill when I was there ages ago, saying that if you wanted to know what a people, a tribe, a nation was like in their heart, find out who were their heroes. The people who were considered heroes to any particular grouping of people will tell you a lot about those people. And we can think of the, I will speak today of the heroes of the Scots, and particularly the hero of the Scots, one in particular, but you can go through the ages, know Sir William Wallace, you know, Braveheart of a few years ago, Mel Gibson, many others, Robert the Bruce, maybe for some, John Logie Baird, the Scot that invented television. We've all benefited from the Scot Fleming, who came up with penicillin, Simpson, who came up with anesthesia. So the Scots have not been lacking in people that would be considered true heroes in various fields of endeavor. But if you would study the history of Scotland, I lived there 8 years. I don't consider myself in any way an expert on it, but I've read all I could. Our people are from there. You will find that the supreme hero of Scotland, particularly up to the, I don't know what, 1950s or so, maybe still, would be our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to speak about the hero of the Scots, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. We're given some important information about why he would be the supreme hero of all in John 3:31. Just read you. He that cometh from above. Christ's origin is with God the Father Almighty. A famous Scottish theologian that was teaching in Edinburgh in the 1930s, H.R. McIntosh, used to say that while for many people in the world, God is a mystery, God is something like a black hole, and you can't know what he's really like, and you don't know what he's out there when you die. According to the gospel, it is in the face of Christ that we see the heart of God the Father Almighty revealed. We know who God Almighty is in his very heart as we gaze upon the Son he sent from himself to become a man without ceasing to be God at the same time. An amazing mystery. St. Augustine said that Christ became what he was not, namely man, without ceasing to be what he always was, namely God. And this Christ comes and shows us what God is like. I remember I had a professor in Edinburgh, Professor Thomas F. Torrance, who'd been a chaplain in the British forces, some of the roughest fighting in the north of Italy in World War II. And he spent a lot of time praying with wounded soldiers, heedless of the danger to himself that was said of him. And one time he knelt down with an English soldier, although Torrance was Scots, it mattered. And this young man had been wounded. It was obvious he was bleeding out, and they couldn't get medical help to him in time for him to live. And he said to the chaplain who had on the cross, Padre, which is what they call them, I went to Sunday school as a little boy, but hadn't been to church since then. I know I'm bleeding to death. Can't be here long. What I'm wondering is this. Is the God whom I'm soon going to see like Jesus, whom in some sense I met in Sunday school, or is he different? And the good chaplain took this boy's hand and looked in his eyes and said, the Lord Jesus Christ whom you met in Sunday school is precisely who God the Father Almighty is. He brings the heart of God the Father to you and opens it to you and will be with you now as you look to him. And he led this dying young man in a prayer of devotion to God. One thing about knowing Christ, it gives us strength to live, face day by day with the demands and complications. You may be raising a family, maybe your family's already raised, kind of like mine. But there are always challenges. And we all need help beyond any power we have of ourselves. And God helps us if we ask him. I don't believe God has ever turned anybody back who sincerely said, Lord, help me. I haven't done right. I'm a sinner. I don't know how to get it right. Will you come in and forgive me and help me? And God will always hear such a prayer. God will answer it. The devil will say, no, you've got to be good. No. Jesus says, it's not the well ones who need a physician, it's the sick. And he comes to those who are sick and does whatever they may need doing. He gives us power to live, and then he gives us power to face the final test, death. Epistle to the Hebrews says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And Christ came down from the glory above, which was his home with the Father, and came down as far as you could go, and took on all the penalty of the sin of Adam and our sins, and bore them in himself on the cross of Calvary, and paid the price, and went down to the depth of all the punishment that a holy God would have to require for that which violates his character. And Christ paid that price as he went down to the deep places. And then he came out, up, back, resurrected, and alive. And he says, if you will look to me, I will forgive you. I will be your power. I will be your life. I will be everything you could ever need. All you've got to do is lift up your eyes to me in faith. There's an interesting story in John chapter 3. I'm not going to read it. Coming from the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel were coming across the wilderness some 40 years, there came a time of particularly bitter complaining against God. And as a punishment, the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, venomous snakes that started biting the people. They were dying. And some of them came to Moses and said, "Do something, do something." And Moses turned to God and said, "What shall I do?" And God said, "Make a brass serpent, the form of a snake, and lift it up on a pole. And everybody that looks at that brass serpent on the pole will be healed." Serpent's a picture of the devil, our sin. Serpent's the picture of being judged. And God takes our judgment and places it not in an actual serpent, but in his beloved Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's lifted up on the tree. All that God would ever require of you and me has been taken care of if we will identify with him by faith. And we look to that serpent on the pole. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And God forgives us, and God renews us, and God assures us that he will never fail us nor forsake us in this earthly life, and that when our time comes to leave here, he'll accompany us through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and his staff shall comfort us, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He came from above, he came as low as he could go, and now he takes us back up with him if we indeed will ask him to make it real to us. If it's never been real to you, you can ask God to make it real. And he would this day before you go down this mountain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.